I'd like to start out today with David's song of thanksgiving when he moved the Ark of the Covenant of God to Jerusalem. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first real direct call to thanks to the Lord in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 to 12. First Chronicles 16, verse 8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done." Remember, David had tried to move the ark to Jerusalem, and he had moved it against the prescribed way that the Lord had told them to carry the ark. There were supposed to be some poles in the ark, and they were to carry the ark by those poles, and instead, I think Phil's son talked about this last week. Instead, they put it on a cart, and someone was stricken dead in the process because they were not doing what God told them to do with the ark. David left the ark at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and somebody come and said, "You know, God's blessing Obed-Edom in a marvelous way because the ark of God's there." And David said, "That ark belongs here in the capital." And so David prepared a place for it. And as he brought to the ark, he presented to the people this psalm that he had written, especially for this occasion. And so I want to just go through that psalm today. And I know you're going to be disappointed, but this is one of my infamous singing meetings. We're going to talk a little bit and sing a lot this meeting. And so I want to start then with verse 8, the first part of it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. How often I forget to give thanks to the Lord. I pray for things, sometimes important things, sometimes little things of absolutely almost no significance to anybody but me, and not a whole lot of significance to me. But I mention them to the Lord and tell him what I'd like, and when he answers those prayers, how often do I turn around and give thanks to the Lord? Not too often. I often stop and say, "How, bud, could you be so thoughtless as, having seen that prayer answered, not to turn around and thank the Lord for answering that little prayer or that big prayer that you've asked?" In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. I really appreciated that song we just sung. I've never seen it before, but it's tremendous because it gives thanks for everything. It gives thanks for the rose, but it also gives thanks for the thorns. You know, the thorns teach us things just the same as the rose does. The thorns are what keeps animals from hurting the roses, so that you can see the roses, and so on and so forth. And it says to give thanks for our pleasures and to give thanks for our sorrows. And we can give thanks for all because the Lord is using all of these things to bring us into the maturity that he wants us to have by the time we reach heaven. And of course, as 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Perhaps the thing that we can give the most thanks to God for, what our whole meeting this morning at 9 o'clock was all about, was giving thanks to God for our Redeemer. That indescribable gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So let's sing number 128 in the Black Book, A Thousand Thanksgivings.
Thou life of my life, blessed Jesus, thou death of the death that was mine. For me was thy cross and thine anguish, thine hell and thy sorrow divine. Thou suffered the cross and the torment, that I might forever go free. A thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Savior, to thee. For me thou hast borne the reproaches, the mockery, hate, and disdain, the blows and the spittings of sinners, the scourging, the shame, and the pain. To save me from bondage and judgment, thou gladly hast suffered for me. A thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Savior, to thee. O Lord, from my heart I do thank thee for all thou hast done in my room. Thine agony dying unsolaced, alone in the darkness of doom, that I in the glory of heaven forever and ever might be. A thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Savior, to
Verse 8b of our chapter says, call upon his name. Call. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. What does that mean? It means speak to the Lord in prayer. Call out to him. Talk to him. Call out to him when I'm in trouble. Call out to him when I'm enjoying things. Call out to him. Just fellowship with God. Call to him. In Psalms 116, 12 and 13, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? We've just sang about giving thanks to him, thanking him for all that agony that he suffered there on Calvary's cross and so on. And then he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take up the cup of salvation. You know, folks, God gave you everything that he could possibly give you when he gave you his son. He gave you the only thing that could cost him anything. He could speak the rest of this universe into being in 7 days. He did it. 6 days. If he can do that, it cost him nothing to give you anything physical. But I'll tell you what, it cost him a lot to give you his son. When he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross, God gave you the only thing that could cost him anything. And he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. God is offering you a gift. He's offering you his son who he gave that you might have everlasting life. David says, how can I thank God? What can I give God back in response? He said, I can take the gift. I just want to ask you if you've ever really done that. Have you really sort of reached out a hand and said, God, I'll take it. You've given me your son. He came down and he suffered all that agony for my sins. And what can I do? Well, the thing that I can do most to thank the Lord, the most gracious thing I can do is take the gift that he offered me. So he says here, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So let's sing number 38 in the green book. I will call upon the Lord. Verse 8c, as we're exhorted to give thanks to the Lord and to call upon his name, we're also exhorted to make known his deeds among the people. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you keep it hidden? Do you hide your candle under a basket? Or are you out there telling people what the Lord has done to you, for you? He says, make known his deeds among the people. In Mark 16, 15, and 16, the Lord had gloriously saved a man who was possessed of many demons. And as the Lord was leaving the coast where he was, he said, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to be one of your followers. And Jesus said to him, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. So he went away and proclaimed to everyone in the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Well, that's what he's asking us to do. Let's sing number 406 in the Green Book, My Hope is in the Lord, which pretty well tells what Jesus has done for us.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he gives. No merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as his own. For me he died, for me and everlasting life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it all, 'tis mine but to believe. recognize his work of love and Christ receive for me. He died for me. He lives and everlasting life and light he freely gives.
Verse 9c says, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Do we sing to the Lord? What kind of songs are going through our minds as we go? What kind of songs are we listening to as we go through this earth? I kind of like country music. But you know what? There's not very much country music you can listen to anymore that doesn't pollute your brain. We need to be listening to music that's encouraging our souls and music that's glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, 18b to 20, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I can't very well sing most of the world's songs to the Lord, can I? They kind of might be offensive to him. So it says, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to sing number 106 in the Black Book, O Head Once Full of Bruises, especially the last verse I had in mind there. David, it says, talk of all his wondrous works. Talk of his wondrous works. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was about to be to ascend after crucifixion, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. It's kind of simple, isn't it? There's a world out there, folks, and they're on the way to hell. It's just that simple. And are we talking of his wondrous works? Are we telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we really care whether they go to heaven or go to hell? We call them our friends. And especially today, people are saying, make friends with the world and lead them to Christ and so on. But I'll tell you, you're not very much of a friend to the world if you make friends with them and never stop to tell them that they're on the road to hell. That the word of God is very, very plain, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that unless they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3, I think it's about 17, it says, he who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. They're on the road to hell if they haven't believed, if they haven't taken the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's simple. It's straightforward. That's the way it is. If we look at people as following down the broad road, some of them we see are falling down the dirty side of the broad road. And you look at those people and you kind of go, whoo, 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 until you look at yourself. And you begin to realize that you've got pretty much the same desires and same temptations. You just happen to have been raised on the clean side of the same street. We talk about people living on the other side of the tracks. Well, folks, both sides of the tracks are polluted. And even the people that we know who are churchgoers, if they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they're on the road to hell. We need to be telling them, you know, to warning them that they're on the road to hell. Let's just sing number 255 in the Black Book.
Lord Jesus, to tell of thy love, the souls have forever delight, and sing of his glory above, the praises by day and by night. Be stronger than death, so I'm with him limited and free. Descending from glory on high, with men with delight to dwell, content to be surely to die, for ere dust of bitterness repel. Bearest our sins on the cross. Oh, who would not boast of his love and count the world's glory but loss?
Verse 10 of this psalm says, glory in his holy name. Glory in his holy name. What does it mean to glory in something? It means that's what I take pride in. That's what I enjoy. That's what I love. That's what I think is really, really neat. And I want other people to see it. I want other people to experience it and so on. I glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says glory in his holy name. I oftentimes wonder how much I'm interested in the holiness of God. He has a holy name. You know, God built this world and he made a man in his own image and he made him that he might have fellowship with him. And man allowed the devil to tempt him into sin. And he sinned and he became a sinner and things got worse and worse until he finally had to destroy man off the face of the earth, except that he saved Noah, who was righteous, and his family. And God kind of started over again, and the same sins that were being done on the earth back then are being done on the earth right now again. And we have a holy God, and sin is an offense to our holy God. And I wonder how often we stop to glory in his holiness. How holy God is. What a wonderful thing that God is a holy God. Look what sin has done to this world. If you look around the globe, you'll see war here, war there, terrorism here, terrorism there. You'll see broken families broken by divorce and unhappy kids and unhappy parents and unhappy people. And so we have shootings and we have this and we have that and all of these things. Why? Because of sin. And we have a holy God whose nature is against all of that. And a God who in his holiness is going to restore things to holiness again. I thank God that he's holy. I thank God that this world is not going to continue exactly the same way as it is right now. As long as sin is in the world is going to be degenerate. There is coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this world and is going to put down all opposition and he's going to put down all sin. And as a matter of fact, in the long run, he's actually going to destroy this heaven and this earth. First Peter tells us that it's all going to be destroyed. It's going to melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, it says, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's back the way it belongs. Because our God is holy. Because our God is not going to tolerate sin and the degradation that sin has brought to this world. And incidentally, folks, who do you think's going to get into that new heaven where holiness and righteousness are going to dwell? Can it be sinners? No. That would turn around and spoil it again, wouldn't it? People talk about what a vengeful God is. They say, well, I don't want a God that's going to judge the world. I want a God of love. I'm going to tell you something. A God of love is going to get rid of sin so that we don't have this misery that's in this world today. He's going to get rid of it all because he's a holy God. And I glory, in a sense, in that holiness, that God is going to put everything right, and he's going to bring back into that world those of us who have been born of God. Because when we're born of God, we're given a new nature. And it tells us in 1 John that that new nature does not sin because it's God's seed within us. And that new nature is what I'll be in heaven with. And that new nature will never again sin. Well, what about those who are still sinners, who never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who don't have that new nature? There's no place in the new creation for that. So it's very simple, folks. They either accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, are born again, born of God, with a new nature that is incorruptible, or they hold the old nature and they have to suffer in hell forever because they refuse to give up sin. They refuse to accept Christ as Savior. So glory in his holy name. Let's sing number 13 in the Green Book.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He has done great things. bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Verse 10b, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Do you seek the Lord? Is that your objective in earth, to serve the Lord? Is it your objective to be found pleasing to him? Well, if that's what you are, he says, let your heart rejoice. 1 Peter 1:8-9 says, though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There's a joy to being a Christian. You know, sometimes people think, well, I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to give up this and I don't want to give up that. If I'm a Christian, I'll have to give up this sin and I'll have to give up that sin and I'll have to give up some other sin because I don't want to live the dull life of a Christian. And I'm going to tell you, the dull life of a Christian is a wonderful life because it's not dull. The life of a Christian is a life of joy, rejoicing in the Lord, being happy with the communion with our Creator, knowing who made us, knowing who we serve, desiring to serve him, enjoying fellowship with him. We were made, I believe with all my heart, we were made for fellowship with God. Why else would he make us in his own image? Like him. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let's sing number 489 in the Green Book.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, I rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
That song, incidentally, is around, and it's kind of fun, but it's a little bit difficult sometimes if you're not too familiar with the song to make a round out of it, so we decided we wouldn't try, but it's kind of fun when you're doing. Verse 11, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Psalms 27:8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. God invites us to seek his face. He wants us to seek fellowship with him, to look for him. You know, you go into maybe a class reunion or something like that. What do you do when you get in there? You start looking around for the familiar faces, don't you? Those are the people you're going to go talk to. And maybe somebody will come along who you don't quite remember, but he'll come to you and he'll say, hi, bud, how are you doing? You're the kid that caused all the trouble, aren't you? Whatever it is, you know. But you look and suddenly you recognize that face and there's a bonding instantly. The Lord says, seek my face. Look for me. Fellowship with me. I'm here. I know you, bud. Do you know me? Do you remember me? I'm the one, you know, that sent my son to die for you. I'm the one that went to Calvary and died for you, whatever it is. So seek the Lord and his strength. Seek my face. I like that bit, too. Seek the Lord and his strength. You know, folks, I walk through a world as a dichotomy. I walk through the world with a split personality. I walk through the world with this fleshly body of mine, with this fleshly brain of mine, this self which the world calls, which the Word of God calls the flesh. I walk through the world and everything in the world appeals to me. The sin of the world, what the devil offers, it appeals to me. I became a Christian and I received that new nature, born again of the very seed of God. And when I was born again, I had a nature that hates sin and loves God. So here I walk through the world as that dichotomy. And the struggle begins. And here I am, the devil, saying, bud, this looks like fun. This looks good to do. This is nice. Here, take a bite of this fruit, like he did to Eve. And you say, well, what in the world could be wrong with that? And you get off the path. And you start getting further and further from the Lord, you know. And suddenly you realize, Lord, I need help. I don't want to live this way. I want to live the way you want me to live. Seek the Lord and his strength. You know, he's our advocate up in heaven. And he's our high priest up in heaven. And he's able to help us. It says, let us come to him in time of need. If I need help, if I'm being tempted, I need to seek the Lord because he will help me to overcome the temptation to this world. To walk in the Spirit, it says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That temptation that comes to me, that's the lust of the flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit? I seek the Lord's faith. I walk side by side with him. You know, if a kid is walking side by side with his parents, he doesn't get in too much trouble, does he? It's when mom and dad are in the other room that he gets in trouble. If I walk with my Savior, if I seek the face of my Savior, I can walk and I have his strength infused into me to resist temptation. So he says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. The rock was the place of strength where a person could go hide. A person could stand on top of the rock and fend off the enemy or whatever it was. So it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Let's sing 411 in the Green Book, The Joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He heals the brokenhearted and then they mourn. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And finally, David finishes up this psalm with verse 12, remember his marvelous works which he has done. Stop and ponder. As the one song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, see what the Lord has done for you, and so on. So he says, remember his marvelous works which he has done. I like the song of Moses and of the Lamb in Revelation 15. Here you have the people that have come through great tribulation and been faithful to the Lord, and they sing this song of Moses and of the Lamb, and it says, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Let's sing number 512 in the Green Book.
Stand up. Stretch your legs a little bit.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears of his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came to the world of light to comfort him in the sorrow he bore for my soul that night. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. So how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face at last I'll see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Please be seated.
O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done. Jerry, you'll give thanks for us. Seek your face, that we seek to be holy in what you would have us to be. So be with us.